I'm still reading The Writer's Journey, second edition, Mythic Structure for Writers by Christopher Vogler, and I'm still in two minds about it. I mean, the book is incredibly successful in its field, but there are times when I read it when I think, one minute he's saying something totally unsupported, for which I can see dozens of exceptions, and then he'll say something that is almost self-evidently true. For example, I've just been reading about the archetypes: hero, mentor, threshold guardian, and herald. Now, some of what he says about the hero is, you know, actually quite wise. I also like the fact that for each archetype, he makes a distinction between its psychological function — I'm not sure how useful that is — but its dramatic function, which of course is very useful if you're a writer. And for hero, of course, he points out that the purpose of the hero is audience identification. What I'd forgotten is that he does actually make the distinction that the hero isn't always the hero. That is to say, the hero isn't always wearing the mask of the hero at all times. Other characters can don that mask for certain scenes, certain moments in scenes, even extended periods. So the book is actually a lot more flexible when it comes to story structure and story forms than I remember, which is good. He also makes the point that the hero typically grows, has growth, they typically take some kind of action, and that rather than being strong or brave, it's more important that they have some kind of sacrifice. That is, the idea that they have to give up something of value, perhaps even their own life. And I know that for myself, thinking back on various stories and movies, that's a pretty common theme amongst heroes. He also points out that they should have flaws. I also like his section on anti-heroes. He talks about the anti-hero not being the opposite of a hero, which is what I was always taught too. But it's actually a specialised kind of hero, an outlaw or a villain from the point of view of society, but with whom the audience is basically in sympathy. He even breaks it down to two types of anti-heroes: characters who behave much like conventional heroes, but are given a strong touch of cynicism or have a wounded quality, like Bogart's characters in The Big Sleep and Casablanca. Having only just recently seen Casablanca, I thought that was a good example. But he also makes a distinction that there's a second type, the tragic heroes, where the central character isn't likable or admirable, and whose actions we may even deplore. He gives examples of Macbeth or Joan Crawford in Mummy Dearest. I think it's that latter kind of hero that Australian cinema and Australian filmmakers seem to be in love with. I recently saw the Australian film Animal Kingdom, and it struck me about halfway through that yet again I was watching an Australian movie where the good guy, that is the hero, the central character, was a bad guy, a villain. At one point he even aids in the murder of two randomly chosen and, as far as we could tell, innocent young policemen, in revenge for something that some other detectives did, which was also bad. So we have detectives who are corrupt, we have criminals, and one member of the criminal family is the hero. The only good cop in the film is a minor character, I guess what Vogler would call a mentor character, that was actually quite a minor character in the grand scheme of things. I don't think audiences like this. I don't think audiences like it when the only difference between the good guy and the bad guy is that the good guy is slightly less of a villain than the bad guy. Doesn't give you much to barrack for. On the other hand, some of the other archetypes seem almost obvious. The things such as the threshold guardian. I mean, of course there are going to be obstacles in the way of the hero. Otherwise, there'd be no challenges and no interesting story. I don't know if this is a statement of the obvious or a piece of insight, but of course there are going to be obstacles at certain points in the story. He does make the point, though, that threshold guardians, and indeed all the archetypes, don't necessarily have to be characters. They can be forces, they can be fears within the main character, and they can even be objects or situations serving that function. So, continuing to read through the book, I'm reminded of what has always made me uneasy about the book, and that is that it swings from making unsubstantiated generalizations to statements of the bleeding obvious. But then I think, well, they're only obvious because this language, this way of talking about stories that Vogler introduced to the scriptwriting community, has become so pervasive that everybody uses this language now. So maybe it's only obvious because of Vogler.